Here we go with the second of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. To Washington, D.C., and Bob Costantini.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Robin and John. A little bit of breaking news out of New York and Manhattan. A juror who had been sworn in to be one of the 12 jurors who was going to determine the fate of former President Donald Trump has asked and been dismissed out of fear that that person, we don't know who that person was, of course, but out of fear of being identified in public. And this is why, of course, that they not only want 12 jurors of Donald Trump's peers in New York, but also 6 alternates. And they now have then 6 more jurors to get. They had 7, but now they have 6 more to get to swear into the jury. Plus, they need another 6 alternates. So this is this shows a bit of the difficulty they're going to have to try to find a dozen impartial jurors and 6 alternates who are perfectly okay with sitting through a lengthy, high-profile trial whereby the former president may very well attack some of them, even if he doesn't know their names or isn't supposed to put out their names, guys.
And so was this, did we know if this person had been threatened?
I'm not sure because they, interestingly enough, one of the dismissed jurors, or one of the dismissed pool of jurors, had come out and spoken with, I think it was NBC or whatever, MSNBC, one of those, to talk about it and express, you know, her feelings about, you know, she felt she could be impartial, but didn't necessarily like Donald Trump all that much. So, you know, whether they're fearful because they're appearing in court and the names are not supposed to be disclosed by the defense or the prosecution, obviously, imagine the being a potential juror in that case in Manhattan. You know, some people obviously won't care or will put on, you know, a bravado of some sort, but you have to have in the back of your mind that somehow you may be identified and someone might remember your face and remember a name or anything along those lines, even a first name, I suppose. I believe they're being called out by numbers, juror numbers, such and such. But the backgrounds of these jurors are being explored, to say the least. So the names are, in a sense, out there because both sides are going over whatever social media postings the jurors and the potential jurors may have put out.
Okay, now if they're numbering these potential jurors and they remain anonymous of sorts, if there's this fear among them, might they sequester them for the length of this trial?
That is doubtful because that would probably really take the jury pool down considerably. I haven't heard anyone mention that idea, and in a state court, of course, that can be very expensive, especially if this trial goes on as long as 2 months. The judge obviously will instruct them each and every day to not discuss the case and not let themselves be approached by anyone to discuss the case, and don't discuss it with your spouse and the usual instructions. But I haven't heard anyone suggest that the jury might be sequestered. And Lord knows if it comes to that, it really will probably cut down the size of the jury pool. But I guess I don't think I've heard anybody even being questioned about that idea.
I was just thinking safety, you know.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. This might be the classic case where if it were the last 2 weeks, you would want to sequester a jury, you know, a mob case or something like that. I hate to use that analogy, but where you would fear for somebody's safety and you don't want them to see outside media and the like. Mm. But if this goes on, as they suggest, for 2 months, and that, you know, that's maybe conservative, then you don't want to sequester people that length of time, because then you have to, weekends you have to take them out and, get them out of the hotels and the like. And it can be quite expensive, and it would probably bring a lot of people asking to be recused.
Yeah, point taken.
Yeah.
So that's the best legal mind I got.
So, Bob, House Speaker Mike Johnson has a serious decision to make. Does he go forward with bills to help Israel and Iran, or does he keep his job?
Yeah. He seems to have made that decision, John. He is saying that he is, quote, going to let the chips fall where they may, and put forth a package, a $95 billion aid package, a supplemental aid package that President Biden has basically requested. And there's additional money now in that package for Israel, growing out of the need to replenish some of the Iron Dome munitions after the weekend attack on Israel, the drone and missile attack on Israel by Iran, directly from Iran, and plus a $60 billion authorization for the president to send weapons to, and especially munitions that are badly needed in Ukraine. And he's going to let this be voted on, apparently, on Saturday, because the House is supposed to be off next week. So the Speaker has put it up there. The far-right Republicans obviously are railing about it. They're bringing up the threat once again of ousting the Speaker, as we've talked about. And it is expected that if it comes to that, then the Democrats, some Democrats, a handful of Democrats at least, might very well come to Mike Johnson's aid with the blessing of Hakeem Jeffries, their leader. Will that absolutely take place? I can't promise you that would happen if there is a vote to vote on a motion to vacate the chair. But this time around, it seems as though if Johnson is putting this aid on the floor and letting it stand alone without perhaps any, things attached to it, including border security and what have you, then I think the Democrats will not let him be thrown out. They'll be happy to throw him out after November, if it comes to that, of course, after the elections. But I think this time the Democrats may be on board, some Democrats, not all, but some Democrats, and enough Democrats will probably be on board to make sure that Johnson doesn't get kicked out. This is a kind of quid pro quo. There's no question about it. Johnson has been pressured by some members of his own party, but all Democrats and the White House, to put this aid package on the floor, especially when it's badly needed in Ukraine right now. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with the Ukrainian foreign minister early this morning in Capri, where G7 ministers are meeting right now. And he brought the good news, if you will, that the House is bound to approve this supplemental bill to help Ukraine in the fight against Russia. And as I've discussed previously, Ukraine is having trouble getting conscripts to join the fight when they are, as we've mentioned, counting the shells that they have, that they're not wasting any ammunition, if possible, in this war, and Russia is just overpowering them. Russia launched another drone barrage, I think, early this morning into western Ukraine. So the air defense systems, especially that the United States, the Patriot missiles and other systems that have been provided by the United States and NATO allies, are in bad need of replenishment as well, guys.
And turning to yesterday's vote by the Senate on the impeachment vote, that sure didn't last long.
Yeah. Speaking of trials, the one in New York may go on for a couple of months. The one in Washington on Capitol Hill lasted about 3 hours or so. The Senate was called to order as a jury, and they, above a lot of objections from Republicans, the Senate Democrats put forth resolutions to dismiss both articles of impeachment against Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security. And so it was done very quickly, and Republicans knew it was going to be done that way, the Senate Republicans especially. So, you know, you had a lot of Senate Republicans there knowing the outcome, but just trying to make a point. And Mitch McConnell, you know, talked about the Democrats setting a bad precedent for future impeachments. And the Democratic point of view, obviously, is that Mayorkas shouldn't be blamed for enforcing and doing the policy bidding of the Biden administration, the Biden presidency, the Biden White House. So that's part of their argument, is that, you know, you want to have policy differences about what should be happening at the border, and Republicans have certainly tried to debate that, and they've tried to put that in supplemental aid package. But the Democrats' point of view was that if you want to have that kind of debate, we should have that debate in Congress and not just use this impeachment as a tool to blame somebody and to lash out at someone. And of course, they also accused, the Democrats accused Republicans of wanting to impeach somebody, because the impeachment of President Biden has stalled significantly. So they want to impeach somebody, at least, to make it some kind of equivalent with what happened to former President Donald Trump. And that, you know, that's probably the thinking of some people, some Republicans in the House of Representatives, why they did this.
Well, I guess that may be a harbinger of what might come if they decide to impeach President Biden.
Well, I, you know, in a presidential impeachment, I would think that the Senate would end up having to go through a trial, or at least feel compelled to go through a trial. As I have discussed with you, there's nothing in the Constitution that says a trial is mandatory for an impeachment. Now, in the cases of the impeachment of the president, of course, the Chief Justice must come and serve as presiding over the Senate, as a presiding judge, if you will, to you know, go through the rules and you know, make rulings from the bench, so to speak. So I would think that if the president, any president, is impeached, there would be some kind of compulsion to have a trial, to actually have a trial, even if, in the end, we know that if they decide to impeach Joe Biden, it'll be for show, in a sense. But the senators will probably want to get on the record about how they rule, how they voted in that particular case. I don't know, and I can't say for sure, because we've only ever had one other cabinet member impeached, and it was 100 and some years ago. So this is a very unique situation, really.
Bob is always.
We've had judges impeached, and by the way, I should point that out. There are judges who have been impeached, who, you know, they would send it off to a committee to present certain evidence to the Senate. I think that's how they handled it. It's been, 30, 40 years, I think, since that happened.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, we appreciate your great reporting.
Sure.
And thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Talk to you tomorrow morning. Take care. Bye-bye.